From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Today, the United States Supreme Court heard arguments in a capital punishment case. It tests whether it is unconstitutionally cruel and unusual punishment to execute juveniles for crimes committed when they're 16 or 17 years old. There are currently 72 men on death row scheduled to be executed for crimes committed when they were 16 or 17. NPR's Nina Totenberg was at the court today, and she has our report.
The Supreme Court ruled 15 years ago that there was a national consensus against executing those under the age of 16, but no consensus for those ages 16 and 17. In the intervening years, though, all but a handful of states have abandoned the practice, either formally by changing their state laws or informally by simply not executing juveniles. Indeed, only 7 states have actually carried out juvenile executions in the last quarter century. Moreover, death penalty opponents have presented new scientific evidence on brain development, which they say proves that 16 and 17-year-olds are not fully responsible for their actions. Stephen Harper is a public defender who specializes in juvenile death cases.
We're only talking about the death penalty, not that adolescents don't know right from wrong, and not that adolescents shouldn't be punished, but should they receive the ultimate punishment when most of them, if not all of them, are far less culpable than the adult?
Also at the court were men like Adolf Pena, whose daughter was killed by a group that included 2 17-year-olds.
Well, I can tell you one thing. These 17-year-olds definitely knew what they were doing when they murdered my daughter. They're intelligent folks just like you and I, and they're not mentally retarded or anything. So, yes, sir, they're due to be executed. And I count the days for them to be executed.
Inside the Supreme Court today, the justices were considering the penalty for another terrible crime. At age 17, Christopher Simmons and a friend broke into a house, and when the woman who lived there recognized them, they duct-taped her face, hog-tied her, and threw her off a railroad trestle into the Merrimack River. A jury sentenced Simmons to death, and today Missouri State Solicitor James Layton urged the justices not to move the line of death eligibility to 18. The jurors should decide the penalty for anyone 16 or over, said Layton. There are 17-year-olds who are as culpable as 25-year-olds. Justice Ginsburg, but the line defining adulthood is pervasively drawn at 18. That's the age to vote, to serve on juries, to serve in the military. Why make those under 18 death eligible? Justice Scalia, why pick on the death penalty? Why not say 17-year-olds are immune from any criminal penalty? Justice O'Connor intervened at this point. In the past, she's cast the deciding vote in juvenile death cases, and today she asked only one question. Noting that the Supreme Court 2 years ago invalidated the death penalty for the mentally retarded, she said that there seems to be a similar consensus among the states about juveniles. The number of states that's approved 18 as the cutoff is about the same, said O'Connor. Justice Souter, and what do you make of the fact that the number of juvenile executions is steadily dropping? 10 years ago, there were 13. Last year, just 2. That's pretty spectacular. Justice Kennedy focused on the fact that in the Simmons case, the prosecutor had argued for the death penalty in part because of Simmons' age. Justice Kennedy, can adolescence ever be anything but a mitigating factor? Answer, that was only 2 sentences in the prosecutor's closing. Justice Ginsburg, but it was pretty clear what the prosecutor said was, think about his age, 17 years old. Isn't that scary? Mitigating? Quite the opposite. Justice Kennedy, let's focus on the word unusual. We've seen substantial evidence that the U.S. is one of the very few countries in the world that does this. Would this have an effect on our judgment? Answer, no. Justice Breyer, would Madison and Jefferson have thought that nothing that happens abroad is relevant? After all, they looked extensively at English practices in writing the Constitution. Justice Ginsburg, didn't Jefferson say we must have a decent respect for the opinions of mankind? Justice Scalia, unable to restrain himself, so what did John Adams think of the French? Arguing against the juvenile death penalty, lawyer Seth Waxman picked up the international theme. Every other country in the world has formally agreed to renounce this practice. Only Somalia, which has no government, has not. Justice Scalia, there are lots of things other countries do that we don't accept. Answer, but we are literally alone in the world. Even the 110 countries that do have capital punishment have formally renounced this practice. Waxman continued, in this country, too, there's a consensus against executing juvenile offenders, a consensus that the court recognized 15 years ago for those under the age of 16. Justice Scalia, can we ever go back, or is this a one-way ratchet? Waxman contended there is no reason to go back, that in recent years there's been new scientific evidence showing that the impulse, reasoning, and judgment part of the brain is the last to develop. And for the first time, he said, the nation's major medical and scientific organizations have joined in asking the Supreme Court not to permit the execution of 16 and 17-year-olds. Chief Justice Rehnquist and Justice Kennedy asked why, in that case, the jury couldn't have weighed such scientific evidence. Answer: as a group, 16 and 17-year-olds have such labile personalities that even trained psychiatrists cannot tell if their antisocial traits are permanent. There is no way to know. Indeed, the diagnostic guide universally used by psychiatrists forbids them to make such a diagnosis for anyone under the age of 18. Justice Kennedy, you're saying it can't be dispositive in an individual case, but we should use it to adopt a general rule? Justice Scalia, I thought we punish people not for what they are, but what they were. Justice Kennedy moved on to the problem of gangs. If we rule for you, he asked Waxman, wouldn't 16 and 17-year-olds become the hitmen for gangs? I'm very concerned about that. Kennedy then pointed to a series of horrific murders that were cited in a brief from the state of Alabama. A moment later, Justice Stevens quietly observed that all those murders were committed in states with the death penalty for juveniles, and none was deterred. Lawyer Waxman, deterrence has no value with someone this young because they weigh the risk differently. They can't see the future. Even in this case, said Waxman, Christopher Simmons told friends that because of their age, this was a crime, quote, we can get away with. No mature adult would have said that, said Waxman, when the mandatory punishment was life in prison without parole. A decision in the juvenile death penalty case is expected later this term. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.